Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
2 weeks ago, we started a series, The Names of Jesus, and we looked at the first name, Emmanuel. Last week, Pastor Billy came and he shared, and he asked this question as he shared about the wonderful counselor. He said any good counselor would sit with a person and they would look at them and they would say, do you want to get well? And then he showed that beautiful clip from The Chosen, if you were here. We know that there's probably 200 plus names, some estimate 250 names, just assigned to Jesus. So today we go and we move to the third name in this series, and we'll start in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Pause. This week in men's Bible study, we that sat in that room were reminded, why a child? On some level, it probably has to do with the approachability of a child, a baby. That God would wrap himself in the humility of an approachable baby and say, here I am. Wow. For unto us a child, a baby is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and today's word, Prince of Peace. Some of y'all have checked out already. I can see your faces. Don't lose me. Don't get wrapped up in the familiarity of the name Prince of Peace. I like what Pastor Skip Isaac says. I'm going to read you this verse again. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He said this, we already in one verse have the humanity of God. He's a child. The deity of God, the Son of God, and the sovereignty of God, all wrapped in one verse. He's the ruler, and the government is going to be on his shoulders. Of the greatness, verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. And I love this part of the verse. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What does that mean? That God is going to get this done. No matter what the forces of culture and the world say, ultimately, God has stated all the way back then, listen, one day I will see this through and this will happen. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will see that this is accomplished. So what is peace? Back in the 1950s, we were struggling with this idea of peace. We were struggling with it all throughout humanity, but we were in the middle of the Vietnam War. In 1967, thousands and thousands gathered in many cities, in particular New York City and D.C. and other places, to protest the war. And in 1969, there was a song that was released in response to the war. If you're north of 60, you will remember this song. Listen to this.
One, two, three, four.
Do y'all remember that? See, all the Christians in the room want to act like they didn't know that song. And the rest of y'all need to get saved if you didn't. No, I'm kidding. John Lennon and his wife write this song, and they were in a, I don't understand this, a bed peace protest. So they sang that from their bed in Canada and recorded this. What is peace? Let's figure out what the Bible says peace is. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom. You've probably heard this. It is completeness or wholeness. It implies the opposite of brokenness. Shalom is a greeting that carries deep meaning. It's way beyond what we think peace is. Shalom is a peace over you. Are you listening? It's over your health, over your finances, over your family, over your home, over every single facet of your life. So that when a Hebrew, if they approach you and they say, and they still say these words in greeting, shalom. It is this deep, heavy, overcovering, this blessing in every area of your life. Peace, God's peace on you, in you, over you. It's different than just peace. What's the Greek word for peace? Irene, which we get the word Irene from. It is tranquility, harmony. Listen to this. I love this. One definition that I read says, the definition means the state of a soul that is assured of salvation. That'll bring you some peace. The state of a soul assured of salvation. So let me say it to you today as we start. Shalom, peace. Irene, peace be to you. Now, this is the universal symbol for peace. And quite honestly, I won't get into all this, but there's actually a lot of controversy about this symbol. You could investigate this on your own, but there's a lot of controversy about this symbol, and does it actually stand for peace? How about the idioms of peace? Are you listening? Peace, peace out. Speak now or forever hold your... Yeah, I need some peace and quiet. How about a peace offering? Would you pass the peace? He's at peace with this. We should make peace. I need peace of mind. We should keep the peace. Those of you from a Catholic background, you know how to pass the peace. Protestants, we just do it in a different way. We just have a greeting time right after the first song. That's our version of pass the peace. At the end of your life, they say, would you rest in peace? Now, this is kind of comical, so we'll take a little comic turn here for a minute before we get to the more serious. But if you've paid any attention to every Miss USA pageant or any beauty pageant, there's inevitably the time in the beauty pageant where the question is asked of the contestant whether she's in a dress or a bikini or whatever they're wearing. Now, I'm not going to show the bikini version, all right, so y'all can exhale. This is from Miss Congeniality, and Sandra Bullock is playing the part of a beauty contestant from New Jersey. Now, my wife is from Jersey, so we got a little, you know, representation there. Didn't pick that on purpose, just coincidence. So she's playing this part, and the part played by Stan Fields, the interviewer, he goes to ask her the all-important question at the end of the interview, which every beauty contestant answers, and he gets to her, and watch what happens here.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace. That's easy. World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Don't you just love his like, okay, there was the answer we were all waiting for and looking for. We just needed to hear the world peace answer. What's the problem? And where did it start? Genesis chapter 3. Here it is. I won't read this whole thing, but I'm going to give you just a few of the verses. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some, she ate it, she also gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7. Then the eyes, here it is. Then the eyes of them were opened, both of them, and they realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Pause. Here sin is introduced, and here's the first cover-up. All the way in Genesis chapter 3, they figured, let's physically cover the sin. Break in peace. All of creation between God and man, all is at well until this moment, and we now have a problem. Verse 17, cursed now is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat from food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam then names his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living things. This right here, Genesis 3, are you listening? Is where humanity lost peace with God. I'm going to talk about three different kinds of peace this morning very quickly, but this is where it started. I want you to see a map. This is, I didn't even know this existed till 2 weeks ago, the 2024 Global Peace Index. Basically, this is a look at the entire world, 160 some countries, and what they're looking at is, where are the conflicts the greatest in the world? Let me give this to you. It won't shock you that the United States is 132nd out of 163 in terms of actual peace. Meaning for a certain time and a certain number of lives that have been lost, your country would be at peace. There is only one industrialized country in the world that is worse off than we are in the entire list of the Global Peace Index. How is that possible? How is that possible when most Americans would acknowledge that the Eastern world is always in conflict and they've basically turned their back on God? And we're 132 out of 163. People are looking for peace. In 2021, are you listening? 2 million people in our country were incarcerated. That's the largest percentage of any country on the whole list. Wow. Peace with God was broken. Now, Jesus comes along at Christmas, but I want to fast forward to right before his life is ebbing away and about to end. He gathers his basketball team in an upper room, his 12 guys, and he has a message for them. Here it is. John chapter 14. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then he speaks these words. The Word of God says these words. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus shows up at a time in our world where things were so dark and they weren't peaceful. Isaiah, when I started, prophesied about this one that would come, and the world wasn't peaceful then. It was in total turmoil. And he came to King Ahaz and he said, hey, listen, I need to give you some words from God. There's one that's coming that will bring peace. Jesus shows up, still no peace. And Jesus, right in this moment in John chapter 14, is getting ready to go to the cross. And his guys are still looking at him after 3 years with him. And they're thinking, when are you going to come set up your kingdom? When do you put out the golden chair? And you let everybody know, you're the King of Kings. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's come to overthrow the government and set all this stuff right. We're tired of the Romans. We're sick of the way they're treating us. Remember our stories from all the way back in Egypt? It's been one beat down after another. So Jesus, what do you got for us? Hey guys, I want you to hear me. My peace I give you. Not as this world understands it. And my peace, I'm going to leave with you. And by the way, I'm leaving. What? I'm getting ready to get crucified on a cross. What? But I want you to know, before I leave, my peace. Oh, by the way, I am peace. I leave you with my peace. This doesn't make a lot of sense to us. This is peace from God. God provides peace to reconcile us to himself, and he does that through a baby. His name is Jesus. The picture of the man on the screen behind me is my uncle. He is no longer alive. This is Bill Griffin. He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Much like all the Griffins. Seeing if y'all are listening. That's Bill Griffin. Bill Griffin, in 1995, I was watching a basketball game with my dad and my brother. It's the NCAA tournament. It's a Friday night, and we get a phone call from another one of my dad's brothers. There were five in his family. That this brother right here, while working at a desk in Indiana, had collapsed and hit his head on his desk. He had been the picture of perfect health. He was 100 miles an hour, wide open, energy, personality, 6'3", walk into a room, just light up the room. He was really, really smart. He started adult degree completion programs at colleges all over the East Coast. I mean, this guy was a, when you were around him, you were like, man, I just want to be around this guy. You know how there's people you're around and they suck the life out of you? This wasn't this guy. He was the opposite. You were with this guy and you were like, man. And in 1995, we get the phone call that he collapses at his desk. He had never had a single health issue in his life. And months later, dies of a brain tumor, in which he really had, until that moment, not a single sign or symptom. Why am I telling you that story on a day of peace? Is that to get you to feel sorry for the Griffins? No. At his funeral, his son spoke, and there were two things that happened that he recounted that I'll never forget, and it was 1995. His son Philip stood up, and he was talking about all the great things about his dad, and he talked about these wonderful things, but he talked at the end about his mom and Bill's mom. And he said this, I don't know how to explain this to this packed room of people. I don't understand why my dad's gone now, but this much I can assure you. My mom has repeatedly said this to me through the months of him dying of brain cancer. I don't know what to tell you, Phil, but I can feel the people praying today, and God has given me peace. Only God can do that. I said to his mom, my mom, who lived a long time after he did, can you explain to me how you are dealing with this and how you got through with this? And she said essentially the same as his wife said. Honey, I can't tell you how I can mentally explain this to you, but my heart has such peace. Peace doesn't take away the pain of missing my son. But I'm just telling you, God has given me a peace through all of this, and it's more than my head could understand. Do you know that kind of peace? You can. You should if you know Jesus, Prince of Peace. Just this week, a friend from this church testified to me on the phone, who is in the ambiguity of trying to find a job and has been for months. He said, I can't explain this to you, Kevin, but I'm telling you, 10 years ago, I'd have been a mental, I would have been off my rocker, lost. But through all these months, I can just tell you, it's not me. I can't explain it. He said, I have slept as good as I've ever slept. I am at total peace. The relationship between me and my wife is as good as it's ever been. And I am closer to God than I've ever been. I am at total peace with this. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord. These are Paul's words. Paul, by the way, starts 12 of his 13 letters with grace and peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That's peace. That'll give you some peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, peace with God, peace from God. Now, here we go, the peace of God. And the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding. I think that's what my grandmother was trying to tell me. This doesn't make sense in my head, but in my heart, I'm resting in this peace. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you just to picture this. Picture your brain and picture your heart. And picture a guard outside each of those organs. Picture a guard that stands at attention, that is always on guard for your brain and for your heart, and it is the guard that will wage war against the war against your peace. Think about that. A guard that stands on the edge of my heart and says, you ain't getting in here. This brother's got peace. You're not going to overtake this mind because he's resting in the peace of Jesus. Listen to what Billy Graham says. Most people yearn for one thing more than anything else in their life, inner peace. And without it, they have no lasting joy or security. The word peace is used in the Bible in three main ways. First, spiritual peace. That's between God and man. Second, there is a psychological peace, peace within. Third, there is a relational peace, peace among mankind. The Bible says that sin has destroyed or seriously affected all three of these dimensions of peace. When man was created, he was at peace with God, with himself, and with others. But when he rebelled against God, man lost peace in every way. These dimensions of peace can be restored. Man cannot bring this about, but God certainly can. Oh, by the way, and he has. He has, and it's the message of Christmas. It's the peace of God. How do you get the peace of God? He just said it, Paul did, in Philippians 4. By prayer and petition. What's the last thing you petitioned? Something political? Something in your neighborhood that your HOA is fighting for? Something for the school? Something for, what's the last thing you petitioned? You put your name on it. You said, I'm on board with that. I'm going to get behind that. I'm going to support that. What's the last thing that you came and you repeatedly, with all the conviction that you have inside of you, said, I'm going to petition this. I'm going to bring this before someone with prayer and petition. Present your request. You know how badly the world wanted peace when Isaiah was writing those words? Bad. Fast forward 700 years. You know how badly the world wanted peace when Jesus showed up? It was awful. There was this great anticipation. You know how badly our world today wants peace? Sometimes we don't think that the most of the world does want it. There are people in our world who don't want peace. But really, probably the overwhelming group of people do want peace in our world. April 11th, 1970, NASA launched three gentlemen, Jim Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Ken Mattingly. They launched them to go to a trip to the moon. And on that trip, they were 3 days into that trip, and there was an explosion, and the trip turned and went from a, hey, we're going to celebrate these guys going to the moon, to how in the world are we going to get them back? The entire world, are you listening? The entire world, 6 days later, stood, watched, knelt, prayed with bated breath. Are we going to get them back? They had to do so many adjustments. They had to reduce the temperature of the cockpit, reduce their water intake, reduce the power intake, so they could basically circle the moon to slingshot themselves back into our atmosphere. 1970. And I want you just to watch, think now, lay this across the grid of history, across the grid of Isaiah, across the grid of Jesus' first coming, across the grid of today, and how much people are longing to see this moment. Watch this.
Astronauts were expected to come out by
I think it was more than just a collective sigh of relief. It was a total celebration because of the anticipation. These guys came home. Our world, including me, is longing for peace. If I could just be real honest with you this week, I've been working hard at this message, which you may doubt after it's done, for 2 weeks, and I said to both Pastor Sam and Pastor Jared this week, it's the hardest 2 weeks I've ever had in trying to prepare a message. Why do you think that is? I personally have not been at peace. It's been a hard 2 weeks. I know where that comes from, but I just got to be honest as your pastor. I'm telling you, it's been a 2 week assault. I'm not telling you so you feel bad for me. I just want you to know there's an enemy, and he doesn't want you at peace. He doesn't want your marriage, your home, your kids, your finances, your job, whatever it is. He does not want you to live the way it was supposed to be in Genesis 1 and 2 and into 3 until we broke peace with God. Stand with me. I'm going to offer you a chance today. I don't know what it is you need. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you walked in here with. But maybe it's the peace with God that you're struggling with. Maybe you just need the peace from God. Maybe you need the peace of God today. And you just want to come and you want to kneel or sit. And I'm going to invite you to do something else. Maybe you want to bring someone with you today to pray. That doesn't have to happen at an altar, but what better place to come and just to bow your knee? Every knee's going to bow. Just to bow your knee in humble reverence and say, I got to be honest, Lord, I'm dying for your peace. I need that, not just in this season, but I'm in need of your peace today. I love when Jesus shows up after his resurrection. He walks into the room and they thought, all hope was lost. And the first words out of his mouth is, peace, shalom. I'm here, guys. And you know what he does to show him his peace? Look at my wounds. I invite you to my wounds. There's the reminder for peace. Some songs we sing are songs that we sing about God. Those are fine. I like those. I love this one. this is not only about him, this is to him. So if you're not going to come today, that's fine. I want you to sing it from your heart, from your soul, from a place of peace. If you're struggling and today's the day you say, man, I'm just, the Holy Spirit's working on me, I just should come because I want his peace. Don't wait. Let's sing. Respond.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.